We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
My name is Chapman Laxton, and I am an associate pastor here at Christian Ministries Church as well as youth pastor, like Hannah said earlier, and I'm just glad you're here. But just kind of getting off on what I want to talk about tonight, I have to say I really enjoyed Mel's message on Sunday, and to kind of get it to one verse, she talked a lot about Isaiah 53 verse 1, where Isaiah is asking the people, who has believed the report of the Lord, and talking about then the prophecy of Jesus Christ, and who will receive the strong arm of the Lord that's reaching down. It's not too short. Who's going to believe? And like what Mel was saying, it's that oh, well, every hand goes up. Oh yeah, I believe. Well, oh yeah, shoot, yeah. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for all that good stuff. But what she was getting to was we've got to trust, rely, and cling on that report because it's hard. It's hard sometimes. It's really easy, as a matter of fact. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but on my best days, there are a lot of times where I've got to, whoa, okay, hold on. Even with my best mindset, I started off right, and I've prayed, and I've read my word, and I've spent my time, and I've been in the Spirit, and I've been singing the worship songs, and then 15 minutes into my clock in time, I'm really needing to trust, rely, and cling on that promise that I said that I want to take hold of. Y'all, it's because it's a tough time because we live in a fallen world. And we've got to always be arresting our mindset. I love how Isaiah 40 verse 30, it talks about how even youths grow tired and weary. And for all of us that ain't youths, we grow a little tireder and a little wearier sometimes. And we have to be mindful of that. We've got to pay attention to that. We've got to not let our flesh move us in our spirit. Now, wait a minute. No, I believe that report. I trust in that report. We've got to have that right mindset. And a great verse on the mindset that we should have is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And it says, join with me in suffering. Man, I put that on a t-shirt. Ain't that great? Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Braden Bettinger read this to our youth in our elevation class on Sunday. And as we were talking about that you got to have that mindset like I'm here for a purpose on a mission. I'm here for a purpose on a mission. There's a job that I'm doing. There's something that I'm trying to accomplish. I'm not just a civilian. And we were talking about that with the kids. Civilian affairs. What are the civilian affairs that we can find ourselves so many times getting wrapped up in that don't really matter? Or find ourselves pushing us off that report that we believe because that's a civilian affair. See, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we've always got to be reminding ourselves, based off of our second birth, not our first birth, how we're going to respond and how we're going to rise to situations because we say we believe that report. Amen? And so in thinking about that from that military mindset just on Sunday, it just was spurring me on to something that I had kind of talked to the youth about. But just the idea of from a military mindset, so much in the Word, we pull out this idea of a military mindset. And that's because there's so many things when we think about the adversary, when we think about the different things. And so we were talking about the different branches of military and different jobs that you can have. And I always find in me what is one of the most interesting aspects of you know, military activity is the idea of scouting. You know, the idea of a scout and what a scout has to do. You know, you're getting behind enemy lines and you're having to go out and see where the enemy is and what routes we're going to take. I wrote down this one quote and it didn't have a name that went with it, but it was talking about trying to explain scouting to people has less to do with knowing where the enemy is rather knowing where he isn't. It's about going to a place where, not just about knowing where the enemy is, we want to know where he isn't. so that we can either advance in those areas, take those areas, exploit those areas. And this idea of scouting began, just really began to unfold as I began to look at it from a perspective of how we can help have a right mindset as soldiers for the Lord. To scout, the whole idea is we're looking ahead. We're looking to the future. We're looking for what we're doing. You know, I it's hard for me to not think about sports, but scouting in basketball. I had a coach that said this one time, and I have to agree. He said, good teams scout, bad teams don't. Good teams scout, bad teams don't. Good teams don't want to just show up to a ball game and go, oh, I didn't know they'd do that. Good teams scout, bad teams don't. But great teams scout in better detail than good teams. See, a great team with their scouting, they'll run this play in this situation. These are his tendencies. These are her tendencies. This is how they like to do this play on this time. They know what's going on beyond, well, he can shoot. He's right-handed. You know, there's more to the scouting report than just, well, here's some information for you. And so again, just that idea of scouting, it really is an interesting thing to me, especially when we're considering how we're going to keep ourselves in the right mindset and keep ourselves from getting taken advantage by the enemy. And in that idea, I was thinking about scouting and different things. And I think the most nerve-wracking thing that someone can do to scout an area would be to be like those guys that go in and scout for the landmines. Like, I get anxiety just playing Minesweeper. Because I still don't know how to play that game. I'm 30 years old, and I still haven't figured out how you actually play Minesweeper. It's just, oh, well, I'll click, that's another bomb, I don't know. But doing that in real life, and it's not just, and you got to think, like, okay, yeah, I've got this thing, and okay, that looks like that might, well, that, but the idea of it's the people coming behind you. They're dependent on you doing your job right. I mean, yeah, hey, you're not going to have, if you make a mistake, well, you don't have long to really regret it. But the idea that if you make a mistake and you let someone come along behind you and then it harms them, it just goes up a whole nother. You get what I'm saying? And I think so oftentimes when we think about what we're doing for the Lord and what we're doing for God, we're always so concerned about how it's going to affect us. Do we really think long term, how is this going to affect the people coming behind us? How is it going to affect the next people? Okay, I get it. You want it to be good for you, but how are you thinking about the job that you do as it pertains to someone else? Landmine detecting, it'd be kind of nerve-wracking. But we've got to have this idea that this is what we're supposed to be like. We don't ever just get to be off the job. There's not ever not a mission. There's not ever not a report that we need to trust, rely, and cling to. There's not ever a day where you get to, well, I'm going to clock out of being on the job for the Lord, and now I'm just going to go do some, you get what I'm saying? We don't get to clock out. We need to be on the job all the time. And I'm not saying that that's easy. It's hard. It's hard to maintain that mentality. It's hard. But if you don't think about that and you don't keep that mindset there, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of frustration. We're going to find ourselves going, showing up and going, whoa, I didn't even realize the enemy was still. The enemy don't clock out. I get you want to take a break. I get you want to clock out. The enemy's not clocking out. The enemy's not clocking out for your marriage. The enemy's not clocking out for your kids. The enemy's not clocking out for your friendships. The enemy's not clocking out on your life. He's not quitting. The enemy is committed. And he's committed for you. Are we going to have the right mindset? Or are we going to find ourselves, 2 Corinthians 2:11, I like how it words this. It says, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. How do you get familiar? You got to scout. You've got to pay attention. You've got to be aware. See, when you're unfamiliar, you're like, well, God, how did this happen again? It's the same thing you've been dealing with for 15 years. It's the same thing you've been dealing with. It's the same thing whenever you, okay, I get it. It happens. I get it. You're prone to that. I get it. But when are you going to get it figured out that the enemy's not clocking out? Oh, I'm just not me whenever I'm hungry. I just get in a bad attitude and I... Well, when are you going to figure that out? When are you going to figure that out? When are you going to decide that that's not going to destroy my witness anymore? You being hungry? We clock out. We fall asleep. We get under pressure and we get under whatever and we think, oh, I just need a break. And we can't clock out. We're on the job. We need to be scouting. We need to be thinking ahead. We need to be trying to find what is the enemy trying to do and how can we're not going to get outsmarted. I'm not going to get outsmarted all the time. We might lose some battles, but I'm not in it. What I don't want to happen more so than something bad happening to me is I don't want, because I wasn't on the job, somebody to come behind me and me really mess somebody else up because I just decided I just having a tough day today. I mean, marriages don't go to places where they're abusive just on a whim one day. Oh, you overcooked the roast? Well, now I'm just going to slap you around. That doesn't just happen. Infidelity doesn't just happen. We get outsmarted over and over, and we think, well, we'll rise to the occasion. No, you won't. You'll sink to the level that you've been trained up and prepared for. I used to tell the boys this all the time in the basketball games. You'll only remember 55 to 60% of what we talk about in practice. And in the game, you'll get out there and it'll look like you don't even know what in the world you taught. Ben and Jason are like, yeah. You sink to the level just because of stress. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared. We've got to scout it out. And we can't continue to rely on other people to scout things out for ourselves. It's too big a job. It's too important of a job. And listen, Pastor Ashley, Melanie, myself, whoever gets up here at this pulpit, our job is to get up here and prayerfully, we're guided by the Holy Spirit, but we can't follow you everywhere you go. At some point, you're going to have to decide, my life is worth me living the right way on my time. I'm not clocking out when I'm not at church. I'm not clocking out whenever I'm not doing a church function. I'm not clocking out when I'm not around my church friends. I'm on the job and I'm scouting. I'm keeping my eyes open. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your full heart. Are our hearts full for what God would have for us? Or are we just too tired? It's vital. It's vital. And we've got to be on the clock all the time. If you're not scouting correctly, you're not living the life God would have you. And I love this quote from Steve Lawson. It says, if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. If you displease God, it doesn't matter who you're pleasing. But if you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. If you're living your life in a way that pleases God, it doesn't matter who you displease. Because the enemy's not getting us. We're not getting outsmarted. Charles Spurgeon had this quote, and I thought it was really good. It kind of fits in this little topic what we're talking about here. It says, the fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases all other fears before it. The fear of God is the death of every other fear. When we get to the place where we decide, I want to please my commanding officer, I don't get entangled with civilian affairs because my mindset is focused on the report, the promise, what God has for me. We've got to be led by God because what happens is scouting helps us make decisions. And there's three kind of decisions that we can make. And I'm not going to go in super in depth on these, but There's emotional decisions. There's emotional decisions that we can make, and there are people who make decisions all the time based off of emotion. Emotion's kind of like the straw house. That's, you can make a decision like that, but boy, there's not a whole lot of shelter in that kind of a decision. You better hope that there's not anything coming against that. The other kind of decision you can make is a logical decision, and logical decisions are typically really good. But when your logic starts coming in, starts getting into a place where you're out of your depth on how much you can logically understand, you'll start making decisions based on logic, worldly logic that you can understand instead of godly logic that supersedes what the world says. Well, this is the report I got from my doctor, and it's it. It's over. That's what logic would say. Logic says, you better wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart because COVID knows when you take it off and you get with it. That's what logic says. You see real quick how we can start going down slippery slope. I'm not saying don't trust logic. What I'm saying is we got to weigh that with the third kind of decision we can make, and that's a Spirit-led decision. When we're led by the Spirit, we make decisions that please God. And Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. We must get to a place where we're guided by the Spirit more than the other two, or else we'll find ourselves where we're stuck in a place of indecision. Well, we're trying to be Spirit-led, but golly, we really like being emotionally led, and boy, those things clash. And indecision is a big decision. There are people who are indecisive to the point where they finally decide, well, I want to make the right decision now. And they're in prison. Now listen, praise God. Praise God when people decide, finally, I want to make the right decision. I want to give my life to God. But boy, there was a whole string of indecision. You just made the right decision too late. Olive. It's right in the sweet spot of this. Making the right decision just a little too late. Just a little too late. Just a little too late. I'm so glad you want to make the right decision. Now, you still got this whooping coming. And listen, God doesn't want to have to treat us like that. But the consequences of our indecision oftentimes put us against where God would rather us just go ahead and be. Because we're not scouting, we're not prepared, we're not... And we don't want to get to a place where we're compounding a bad decision with another bad decision. Oh my gosh, we just... All the time, Christian people, good, godly Christian people, because they can't look ahead, they can't scout, they can't get this figured out, they're getting outsmarted... You make one bad decision, so now, well, I got to fix this. So I've seen it in the, sometimes Ever Parker was playing basketball. Miss a shot or whatever, so you're going to foul a guy 600 feet away from the other side of the other floor? You compounding a bad decision on top of a bad decision doesn't make the situation better. It's not like math where two negatives multiply them together, you get a positive number. You don't get a positive outcome when you compound in real life bad decision with another bad decision. We've got to prepare ourselves instead of finding ourselves in that constant position of being outsmarted because we're not looking ahead, we're not looking around. And God provides us with a great lesson on how we can keep our minds focused in our scouting, and we're going to look to the Word here on how we're to scout ahead and keep our minds right. And I've just got two big points from this passage of Scripture, and we're going to be done tonight. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, and again, right here as we're coming up on Easter, it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Excuse me. And he said to them, sit here a while, I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, for here comes my betrayer." I want you to think about the disciples that were there. Now, there's the 12. But even on the 12, Jesus had some that he was like, "All right, y'all are going to come with me." They were there with Jesus. They had the right heart. They had good intentions. Sure, we'll go with you and pray. They had every inclination to want to be there, to be a part. Jesus explained to them why they were there. "Pray with me because something's getting ready to happen." Jesus wasn't just bringing them along, though, just for them to just, "Hey, come watch this neat thing that might happen." Do you think maybe Jesus was trying to show them something? Do you think maybe Jesus was trying to bring them in on something, to teach them something on how maybe they could live? When you consider how all the disciples ended up, I'm just saying there was a reason why Jesus wanted them there, but they just kept falling asleep. Look, they wanted to go deeper. They answered the call. They were there. They were in the vicinity of where Jesus was. It's not like they told him no, but they kept falling asleep. And after the second time, Jesus came back and he said, "I'm going to let y'all sleep because I still have work I need to do." So that Satan will not outsmart us. Jesus was trying to teach them something. See, the body is weak, but the spirit is willing. I want to cling to that report. I want to trust that report. I want to rely on that report. But my body is weak. My flesh is weak. My flesh struggles, and I need guidance on how I'm going to think to keep myself in those moments. And he says something really, really interesting. He says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. I got really two big points tonight. Maybe you can guess what they are. We've got to watch and pray. If we're going to cling, if we're going to trust, if we're going to rely, if we're going to be found still standing after, we're going to have to get to this mindset. We're going to watch and we're going to pray. And so I just want to go ahead and finish these points here because this will help us in making our right decisions. The first point, we've got to watch. Watch. The definition means to look with your eyes out and keep them open. That's what Jesus was actually saying. Watch. Out. Are you looking around? Is your head on a swivel? Are you paying attention to what's going on around you? Oh, yeah, sure, Jesus, I'll go with you. I think it's interesting, too, that Jesus commanded them to watch before he commanded them to pray. And I believe it was on purpose. We got people that are just trying to pray, and they're praying ineffectively because they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And I think, how often could we keep ourselves from being in pain or causing suffering if we just would have had our eyes on whatever we were trying to do or where we were trying to go? I love this example, but I always think about all the robbery movies where you got the heist is happening. And it always hinges on one key pivotal movie trope: the security guard who's asleep in the station. He's out, and they're going across the security cameras. And he snaps back up, and he looks, and of course they're not there. The whole movie'd be over. The whole everything, whatever getting robbed would have never happened if the guy just would have been awake. You don't even got to worry about praying, just be awake. Oh, 911, yeah, there's a robbery going on right now. Oh, we'll be right there. If we just would watch with our eyes and give thought to what we're doing, we'd keep ourselves out of a whole lot of trouble. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." Another translation says, "But the prudent watch over their steps." Go back to that landmine. That looks like there's a bomb there. I'm not stepping there. Boy, I'm really not going to step in a trap if I look and go, there's a trap. I'm really not going to get outsmarted by the devil if I go, that's a trap. And we just miss this very simple thing. See, there, when we think about scouting and looking ahead, scouting has a lot to do with your eyes. I never served in the military, but I can imagine if you're going to scout something, you're going to have to be able to look. Can you perceive it? Can you see what's going on right there? Or is your eyes just on, or are they just closed? Matthew 24:42 says, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." We've got to stay awake. We've got to stay on watch. We can't clock out. Parents, we can't clock out on what our kids are watching on TV. We can't clock out. We can't. There's a show that we was letting our kid watch. And then there's another one that come out. And we was, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that show. I've watched every single episode I know. Second or third episode we're watching. Two men and their son. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not watching that anymore. Oh, it's all right. We've got to watch. We've got to watch. We've got to stay awake. We've got to keep ourselves on guard. 2 John 1:8 says, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." Watch yourself. Watch yourself, so that you may not lose what we have worked for. Watch yourself. Oh, they'll keep guard for me. Look, I get it that you trust me. I want you to trust me. But I want you to weigh what I say against the word. Oh, this pastor that I'm watching on podcast. Oh, this sermon thing I'm listening to. Oh, they've done all the reading for me. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Galatians 6:1 says, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." We've just got to get to the place where we're watching. And we would arrest so many things before they become gigantic, massive problems if we just would watch. If we just watch. Watch what we're doing. Watch what we're saying. Watch for the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit. Huh, there's no fruits of the Spirit there. If the fruits of the Spirit ain't there, it's probably void of the Spirit. I'm just saying, we just got to watch. We just have to observe. Watch. That's the first one. And the second one I want to say is what Jesus told him is to pray. Watch then pray so that you are not given over to temptation. Okay, I get it. We're seeing, and we're sometimes this is the other ditch we're in. Man, we're seeing, man, we're watching. We're watching everything, and we're, all we're doing is just internalizing everything that we're watching. We're watching, and it's weighing on us, and that weight is there, and we're, boy, I sure don't want my kids. Boy, I sure don't want my marriage. Boy, and we're watching, and then we're never praying. And sure, we get everything that's on the surface, but what we miss are those things that are just a little bit deeper that we just can't see. You know, back to that sweeping for minds, I was thinking about it. Prayer is the sonar that goes under and pings back in the spirit. Oh, I'm just really getting something in here just ain't that. I'm not stepping there. Okay, that looks good. And the enemy's really good. He's really good at hiding that thing that'll absolutely. And we got so many people that are trying, well, that looks like it's all right. And you only get one wrong one. And then you're changed for the rest of your life. It's worth it for me. Can we just go ahead and get the, oh, no, don't worry. There ain't no minds out there. Hey, can we just go ahead and just get the guy to come out here to sweep for the minds? I just approve. Before you get to a place where you're going to make a decision on something, can we just come to the place where we're going to resign ourselves to pray? There's been several times in the office with the three of us, we'll be talking about a situation and, you know, it could go this way or it could go that way or, you know, there's this or there's that or it could be good or it could be bad or whatever. Hey, could we just pray? And sometimes we go, well, all we can do is pray. That's a giant, massive thing. We act like that's not a big, well, all we can do is converse with God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to move on our behalf. That's all we can do. The prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of the righteous. And we've got to move deeper. Our prayers have got to be deeper than the same prayers we was praying whenever we was. I'm not saying longer prayers. Hear me. Deeper prayers doesn't mean longer prayers. I'm saying deeper prayers. You know, again, I feel like I'm just ragging on Olive, but all of you want to pray? Yep. Father God, thank you so much for this food. No, baby, we're praying over our sleep tonight. Oh, okay. Father God, thank you so much for this food, and thank you for that we have good sleep. We get into a habit of praying a certain way, and yeah, we're going to pray, but we're not getting very deep with our intention behind. Or our prayers are all revolving around. Or we're Christians that see and never pray. And let me just say this. If you are not prayed up, chances are you're probably getting prayed upon. And I'm not saying pray in a good way. If you're not prayed up, chances are you're probably being prayed upon and you probably don't even know it. We got to wake up. And don't get me wrong, we got to open up our physical eyes and see, but there's only so much you and I can do with these eyes have limitations. We got to pray. Pray in the Spirit. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, you need to be. Jesus said, it's better that I go. Why? So the advocate could come and so you could be filled with him. So you could pray, so you could worship in spirit and in truth. Pray. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Other translation says, so that you may pray. How are you praying? Oh God, please, oh God. Don't get me wrong, there's some times where we're crying out, but if every single one of our prayers is from a position of desperation and not clinging, relying, trusting the report of who God is and who he says we are. I don't pray like I'm defeated. I pray because I'm victorious. I'm not begging God to please God, please send me. He already sent Jesus Christ to me. The word says, then why would he withhold anything back from me? He wouldn't. But we have not because we ask not. We're seeing, we're ever seeing, but we're not praying. Or when we are praying, we're not. Before I close, I wanted to just say this. God's command to Cain in Genesis 4, he was trying to get Cain to see something. He was getting upset because he couldn't understand why God wasn't giving him the attention that he felt that he deserved. And he said, do you not understand? If you do what is right, will you not be blessed? However, beware, for sin crouches outside your door and it seeks to have you. Therefore, you must master. This has been a long time. The devil's been out trying to do this for a long time. We've got to open our eyes and we've got to pray. We've got to watch and we've got to pray so that we can keep ourselves in the mindset that I am not going to get entangled in civilian affairs. Listen, I'm not saying we need to all go live on a commune somewhere like the Amish and we're just going to shun everybody else. That's not what God's called us to do. Because we're not taking our light and hiding underneath a bushel. Well, if we're not hiding our light underneath a bushel, that means we've got to let people see our light. That means if people are going to see our light, then that means we've got to be seen. I want to be seen, though, like I'm on the clock. I want to be seen where I have the right mindset. I want to be seen, that's a soldier who knows his mission, who knows where he's going and knows what he's doing. That's where our church needs to go to. That's where we need to be. That's what we've got to have, that mindset, to keep ourselves there. I believe the report, and I believe you do too. But if we're going to keep believing, if we're going to keep trusting, we're going to keep relying, then we've got to scout out, and we can't keep getting outsmarted by the enemy. Y'all receive that tonight? Y'all stand with me and let's pray.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.